Well, we just got some devastating news for the economy, specifically in the housing sector. And it's something we've been warning about for months here on the show. And last week, we published a video where a number of you said, wait a second, I don't understand. I'm confused. There's all of this pent-up demand for housing, but why then are things so bad in the economy? Two different things right now. And that's what we're going to get into here as we look at this new data that's just out, specifically around first-time homebuyers. Welcome in, everyone, to the Morris Invest Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. We're going to take your questions and answers here in just a few minutes where you're able to leave us a voicemail question. But today, I first want to start off by talking about first-time homebuyers and how they're absolutely getting screwed right now. So according to Zero Hedge this afternoon, despite a recent softening, I'm just going to quote here, of the U.S. housing market, a combination of rising borrowing costs and still high prices have put prospective first-time homebuyers in a serious bind. Now, this is what we've been talking about, that the moment those interest rates drop a little bit, all of that pent-up demand for first-time homebuyers, right, those millennials that just been sitting there waiting, they want to buy a property. They realized during the pandemic that they don't want to live and rent in New York City anymore. They want to get out, they can work remotely, and they want to buy something where they have a little bit of land and they can live their life and enjoy it, right? Well, they can't, because now with higher interest rates and inflation, their dollar is being stretched, right? The U.S. dollar is being crushed under the weight of inflation. So we got higher inflation numbers than we wanted in January. Even though the Biden administration is basically lying about them, we got higher inflation numbers, and we're seeing inflation also rising in a lot of other Western countries. Spain, France, also seeing inflation going back up again, GDP falling. And you know who actually had higher than normal GDP numbers this past week? Russia. So all of these crazy sanctions that have been a total failure, it's just the proof is in the pudding. It's really, really disgusting how we are being screwed. And they keep playing these games. Anyway, so we have this softening right now in the U.S. housing market. But the softening, you need to be very careful. Don't fall for the games, guys. The softening in the housing market is not a lack of demand. It's like a boiler right now. It's boiling, waiting to explode. You ever see those pressure cookers? I don't know if you ever watched like Top Chef, or I don't know if you've ever used a pressure cooker, but you know, when it's like tight on there and they put the clamps on the side of it, those things always scare me, right? You pop it off, it's going to shoot off in your face. That's the housing market, okay? We don't have enough homes. We still need 3 to 4 million homes in the United States. And the demand is pent up like a pressure cooker right now. And now we have, according to this Zero Hedge report on Thursday, a surge in mortgage rates now above 7%. Have sent homebuyer applications to a 28-year low across all age groups. So not even just millennials and first-time homebuyers in that section. No, even like baby boomers who were thinking about retiring, maybe getting a new little place out in the country somewhere that they could sort of settle down, all across the board, right? So mortgage interest rates right now being above 7 have put this incredible pressure cooker situation on the housing market. And as they point out, now the spring home buying season approaches. We're heading into April is one of the best times, right, to sell a home. And I don't know about buying a home, but to sell a home, listing a home in April traditionally was like the smartest play you could make. We were selling our home in New Jersey a couple of years ago, and we knew that coming up, we were going to sell it. And we thought, we'll do it in June. I said, no, let's sell it right now. So we put it on the market before the other homes popped up on the market. We put ours like in early April. And we ended up getting into a 9-person bidding war, and we ended up selling the home for like $200,000 more than we paid for. It was ridiculous, right? Because April's great. There's all that pent-up winter demand, and then the spring pops up, and everyone wants to think about moving. They're waiting till the end of the school year. They don't want to move during a school year, so it's a great, great time. So the average rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage climbed for the fourth straight week, reaching 6.65%, according to new Freddie Mac data that was released on Thursday. This means that the difficulties for first-time homebuyers right now is continuing. Like we're not seeing a softening. It's continuing. During the pandemic boom, they were squeezed out. Baby boomers were swooping in and buying properties. They wanted to get out of the city, so baby boomers were beating them. They were paying higher than asking price, and millennials couldn't afford it. And people who had cash. So a lot of those cash investors, the older Americans, 50, 60-year-olds had cash on hand. They were able to swoop right in and buy the properties. And then they're like, oh, great. Okay, I guess we'll rent for another 2 years. while we have our first baby, and no one wants to live in New York City. I mean, I've lived there. You do not want to live there. And the typical household income for a first-time homebuyer soared to as much as $90,000 in 2022, from about $70,000 in 2019. Even with that increase, the typical household income, even with that increase, now with inflation and these higher interest rates, it's like it's canceled itself out. They've made more money, but the interest and inflation have canceled it out. So we're far from affordability for the masses, according to Zillow this week. When mortgage rates hit 7% towards the end of 2022, according to Zillow, it would take around 10 years for an individual saving 5% of the median household income every month to set aside enough for a 10% down payment on a typical home. 10 years to save in order to buy it. And the supply of entry-level housing remains tight. So again, we have no properties available, and the mortgage interest rates are high. Inflation is still there. So we're creating this real crazy tinderbox moment right now in the housing market. It's a lot different than what we saw in 2008. So guys, just keep your eyes on what happens with these interest rates. I'm telling you. Because I saw some comments in my video and they're like, I don't understand why now is a great time to buy in real estate. I'm like, think about it. Just use your brain. Why? The market is soft. Prices are low. Consider, you know, relatively speaking, right? Prices are down. Interest rates are high right now. And so all of the people that are like would be competing for those properties can't get in right now. And so the moment that those interest rates drop a little bit, boom, bidding wars. And the demand will be off the charts. It already is. You see what I'm saying? So you just need to put all these pieces together and see what's happening here. But don't fall for like the mainstream media narrative on all of this. Housing market's in trouble. It's not. Because we have an affordable housing problem right now. We're in low supply. I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers right now. Unbelievable how much demand we need for housing across the United States. The charts are off. I don't want to play them here because they're on a podcast. And I'll show you, you know, you can check them, you can seek them out yourselves, but just go to Zillow. You can see the latest numbers, or go to zerohedge.com and check out the latest numbers on the mortgage front. It's pretty crazy. All right, let's get into it. So today we have three questions from you, three Q&A questions. You can always leave us a voicemail question and we'll answer it here on the show. Just go to our website, morrisinvest.com. And while you're there, you can book a call with our team. We're a full service rental real estate company. If you want to work with our team, for brand new construction properties, we're happy to talk to you about on the phone. So just book a call with us. Okay, our first question comes to us from Don. Hey, Don was my father's name.
Hey, Morris Investment Team. My name is Don, coming out from North Carolina. Question in regards to taking out a HELOC loan on my current residence so I can flip that extra money that's sitting around in the equity of the home to another rental property or something of that nature, or buying commodities such as gold or silver. Just curious your intake on, is that a great idea to do right now at the standpoint where interest rates are so high? Thanks so much for your opinion, and happy New Year's.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate the question. So, should you use a home equity line of credit right now in order to invest in real estate or buy precious metals, commodities, things like that? A great question. And I just want to remind everyone, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a lawyer. So, you know, this is my opinion on what I would do. You know, remember right now, as I mentioned, interest rates for mortgages are about 6.65% this past week. You know, near 7%. So if you can get a good interest rate on a home equity line of credit where the numbers make sense, again, this is what I would do. I always want to be able to use the equity in my home that I'm sitting on. Remember, you can't eat equity. So you're sitting on equity that's doing nothing for you. You live in this home and that equity is sitting there. Can you utilize it? Great. Pull it out if you can. And if the numbers make sense, remember, if the interest rate you get makes sense, for you to buy something with a better return. So again, if you've got something where you're paying 4, 5, 6%, but you can get something that has an 18% return, to me, that's a no-brainer, right? And you can refinance these things later. You can make changes on that side of it later, but it's a financial product. As my wife likes to say, remember, you're trading one financial product for another. So all of it is a numbers game, Don. You know, if you've got, okay, so I'm paying 4% to a bank, but I'm getting something with a 9 or 12 or 18% return. And I'm only using 18% because that's usually around the minimum return that we do at Morris Invest on our properties. So, you know, again, if the numbers make sense, I'll just get out a spreadsheet and look at the numbers. Really just get out a pen and paper. And I always come back to what Robert Scheman said on our show. He's been a great guest of the show a number of times, and New York Times bestseller. And it always sticks out to me when he says, if he can buy a property, an asset at 11%, I'm just making up a number, and he's paying 10% to get it, he'll still take that deal. And I think it's so great with the way he says that, because if you think about it, right, where else in the world, how else in the world can you use a bank's money to buy something that you're adding to your own net worth column and it's still above what you paid for it? Like, what? And then you can always readjust these numbers later. You can refinance later, whatever, down the line. But what else can you do? You can't do that with gold. You can't do that with silver. You can't do that with stocks. You can do it with real estate, though. So when you asked about gold and silver, Don, I just would think about it, right? Okay, if you're going to buy $1,900 an ounce right now for gold, or $21 for an ounce of silver right now. Now, I'm a big fan of having that as a part of your portfolio. Does it make sense, though, to take out a loan in order to buy it? I don't know. You really need to look at the numbers on a spreadsheet to see if that's okay with you, right? Gold is projected to, you know, a lot of analysts think it's going to hit $2,500 an ounce. It's at $1,800 or $1,900 right now. I wouldn't buy gold in order for it to skyrocket. To me, you're buying gold as a hedge against inflation, as a protection for your dollars, right? To get out of U.S. currency and into actual something that's going to sustain for 4,000 years. That's why you buy precious metals, in my opinion. And real estate is an incredible tax benefit, a tax savings benefit, and cash flow. So just run the numbers, Don. Like, after you've sat down, you found a property, you see what the numbers will yield, and you know how much your HELOC will be. It's just a numbers game at that point, right? Don't have to be emotional about it, I guess, is my answer. So just run the numbers. The numbers don't lie. Thanks, Don. All right, our next question.
Hey, Clayton, Andre here. Listen, I love your videos on YouTube. I've been sort of binge watching them over the holiday weekend. Your content is really fantastic, so thank you. A quick question. Has your company ever worked with a client who purchased one of your duplexes, for example, and opted to move into one of the units? Just curious to know if you've ever had a scenario where you've helped a client with a house hacking strategy or something similar to this. Hey, thanks for taking my question. Look forward to hearing back from you. Take care.
That's a great question, Andre. And thanks so much for binge watching our videos. Really, really helpful. Thank you so much. And you know, I'm glad we can help in any way that's possible. So thank you so much for that. I think, you know, it's actually, we had our year-end meeting or beginning of year meeting, and that actually came up. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was brought up, that we had a client, because we live, you know, or our properties are in some of the best markets in West Texas and in Missouri, where we're building our properties right now, new construction, and they're in great school districts. And I believe we had a client that was in the process of doing that, actually, that wanted to live in one side of the unit that they're buying, and then having the other side be rented out. And by the way, I should mention, you know, that's a, why not, right? If you want to live in these towns, I don't live in any of the towns where my properties are, but if I wanted to move to Lubbock, Texas for a reason, and I had the opportunity to buy a great property like this, then you can do it. It comes down to certain financing questions, because now you're not financing. It's the way it's structured, right? We can talk with our team about that. You know, you're financing it as an investment property or as a primary residence, and you can futz with some of those things and talk with our team about that. But the other part of it, though, is that if you happen to be a veteran, now this is a great strategy, because now a VA loan, right, you can get 0% interest basically but it has to be on a property you live in. And that's why I always encourage our veterans out there or members of the military who have access to this loan structure, 0% interest, to buy something that's not a single family. You know, use it as a way to get into real estate investing and buy a duplex, buy a threeplex, right? And move into one of the units just to get yourself started. And under the law, I believe you have to, you know, live there for a number. You have to intend to live there. Like the VA loan, you have to intend to live there and then you do live there. Well, after 3 months, if you decide to move, I'm not saying, I mean, you have to check with the law on this, but there's nothing to say that that loan is not still in place then and you've moved. But now you have this amazing loan opportunity on an investment property that you lived in. So under the law, I believe you have to live there. I don't know if it's a year or 6 months or something. Anyway, you got to check with your attorney on that or your tax accountant. But you've got a VA loan opportunity to move into an investment property. That's another great strategy. So yeah, Andre, I believe we do. So to answer your question, but you can talk to our team. If you book a call with our team, they'll be able to answer that question for you. If you know you're specifically thinking about doing something similar to that, we can talk to you about that and see how, if that's part of a broader strategy for you, what you would, you know, what your goals are. All right, our next question, I believe, comes from Karen.
Hi, Clayton. I love your show. You and Natalie are awesome. I've been following you for quite some time. I'm just wondering, I live in Canada on Vancouver Island, and I'm wondering where a good place is to buy gold and silver in Canada, or what companies a good company to invest in. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Karen. So as far as investing in a company, that's different than, of course, buying gold or silver. So, you know, we have different videos here in the channel where we talk about different, you know, metals producers and things like that, that I invest in and pay attention to. So you can check out some of those videos as well. We'll link them up in the description below if you'd like. So you can go and check those out. And some of these are junior producers. But as far as actually buying physical gold, I know there are... Just a simple Google search will yield you some results on finding people that will send you gold and silver coins and things like that, depending on how much you want to buy. If you want to keep it and store it in your own home, personally, I like to have gold and silver kept off site where I invest. I, in storage vaults that are managed by some pretty big companies that manage that stuff, and they guard it, and it's guarded 24/7 in different jurisdictions around the world. But if you're just thinking about picking up some coins, you know, you want to get a few thousand dollars that you keep in a safe at your home. I know a lot of people that do that. A lot of our listeners do that. That's very easy to do. So I would just, there's a couple of them. They'll sell the gold maple leaf coins, the silver maple leaf coins through the Canadian gold and silver producers that will do that. Just a simple Google search. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the companies right now, but there's a few of them. I know in the United States, the one that I use is Lear Capital, L-E-A-R, Lear Capital. But that's for the United States. Yeah. And we have a website for them too. It's learredacted.com if you want to check them out. And I don't know if they do Canada, so you might want to check them out. It's L-E-A-R, learredacted.com. But there are Canadian ones as well. I've seen them advertised to me many, many times. I'm not in Canada, so I've never bought anything through them. But they'll do the silver maple leaf and the gold maple leaf coins and shipped right to your home. You know, protected. You put them in your own safe if you want to keep $5,000-$10,000 in your own home as protection. Or if you're going larger and you want to buy the gold bars and things like that, of course you'll do that in other jurisdictions around the world. So that's that. So thank you guys so much for all of your questions. I really appreciate it. We will be back again with more videos. Just please make sure you subscribe to the channel. And if you have any questions, please go to our website and click on the little microphone icon. And then, of course, you can leave us a voicemail question. So thank you much. We'll see you next time, everyone.